of Essex Center Untied Methodist Church. This is Liz.
And I'm Little Z. And this is David. Hi. And he works me. Yeah, because I'm a toy. I'm a zebra. Yeah. Also. And, well, he's my dad.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right, my little Z. Oh, hi, I'm David.
All right. We just wanted to welcome you folks to worship this morning. We hope you're all staying happy and healthy. And we really miss your hugs and your beautiful faces. And we hope we can be seeing you soon because we really appreciate everything that we get out of our community. And we love the way that people have been so creative and staying in touch during this difficult COVID time. So welcome to worship and God bless.
Thank you for welcoming us, Liz and David, to worship today on this beautiful fall day in Vermont. We are decidedly past peak of foliage, but it is still beautiful and yellow and orange and red and brown. We come to worship also looking at the news around COVID this week, which is starting to sound apocalyptic. We get told by our culture to just, well, swallow those feelings down or just get over it. We're going to be getting some lessons from scripture that really our calling is to go through it with one another and with God. And the Psalms of Lament, the blues of the Bible, are a tool we can use to get through it together. So I welcome you to worship. And invite you to our call to worship.
Can you introduce yourself?
I can. If you don't know, my name is Mitchell Hay, and I'm the pastor of the Essex Center United Methodist Church in Northwest Vermont.
And I'm Barb Lemmel. I'm a pastor who attends the Essex Center United Methodist Church, and it's my great joy to be with you all this morning.
So welcome, and let's join together. If you have a bulletin in front of you, the call to worship, you can read the bold type, and we'll be sharing that together as well.
And if you don't have it in front of you, just sit back and let these words soak in.
We come to this time and this place.
With our loves and our losses.
With our almost given up hopes.
With our long frustrations and unexpected joys.
We come before God.
We come before God in praise and thanksgiving. We come to this time, this place.
Trusting in the God we meet in Jesus Christ.
The God who will not leave us in discouragement and doubt.
But lifts up our hearts, the hope of new life.
We come before God.
We come before God in praise and thanksgiving. We come to this time, to this place.
With hands hungry for a closer touch.
With hearts yearning for a transformative experience.
With souls aching for what only God can provide.
We come before God.
We come before God in praise and thanksgiving.
One of my favorite poets is Mary Oliver, who in a more cranky period would have been considered a pagan for finding God out in nature. But it's a lesson we all need to learn.
She was no pagan. She was deeply faithful.
Deeply faithful. And a lot of pagans I know are deeply faithful as well. But it's going to be read by Narda Carlson. Thank you for sharing with us this morning.
Wild Geese by Mary Oliver. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things.
Thank you, Narda. That was beautiful. Another way we're told that we are part of the family of things, the family of God, is the caring, the outreach God has for us and we're called to have for each other. Danielle Sturgeon and her family and their young people's message today deals with that as they read and interpret Luke chapter 15, the story, the parable of the lost sheep.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
All right. So I was reading another parable, and let me read it to you. And then I thought of something kind of interesting about it. Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So I've heard this parable a long time. So have you ever heard it before? And every time I've heard it before, it was kind of awesome. It talks about how awesome it is that if one, Jesus is so excited when one of us does something wrong and then comes back and he goes out and finds us and takes care of us, even though it's, you're only one person and there's 99. And there's so much joy in heaven when a person comes and finds Jesus. But what I was thinking about today is, do you remember in virtual school this week, mm-hmm. Emmett, you learned about wildebeest migration, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? And how do wildebeest migrate?
They stay together and they run along and they try to stay together.
Right, they try to stay together in one big group, right?
Yeah.
And why do they stay together in one big group?
Because if one got stopped somewhere, then a predator could just come along and eat it.
Right. So what I thought was interesting is Jesus would go find that one instead of letting a predator eat it, if it was people. And that's part of this parable. But then I was thinking about how that other 99, that other huge group of wildebeest, all kind of take care of each other. By being in one big group, they make sure that one doesn't get hurt. And I thought of how our church family and how our Christian family and how the whole world is kind of like one big family. And our job is to take care of each other so that Jesus can go take care of the one, the rest of the people, the 99, need to take care of each other. So I was thinking COVID-19 has been kind of hard because sometimes it feels like we're all on separate islands. Mm-hmm. You're not with all your classmates. We can't go see our church friends.
Yeah, I'm going to be.
Yeah, you're going to be with more of your classmates some days. It's hard to play with all of your soccer team at the same time. There's just all the small soccer teams are smaller, so you don't see your friends every day. So there's just a lot of things that can make us feel like we're almost on our own island. But our job is to still take care of each other because we're part of one big family. Can anyone think of ways that even though we can't be with people all of the time, like we couldn't see, my cousin got married last weekend, but we couldn't go down to that wedding because they can't have too many people together. What is a way that we could take care of each other because we're part of one big family, even though we can't be together?
We can be safe.
We can be safe. That is a good way to take care of each other for sure. Emmett?
We can wear masks.
We can wear masks. That's a good way to take care of each other. How can you let someone know that you care about them? How can you let someone at church know? Or how can you let someone in your family know?
You could tell them.
How?
By writing a letter.
You could write a letter. You've got letters from your friend because you only see him 2 days a week, so on the other days he writes letters.
You can help them.
You can help them? How could you help them? Because you can't go see him in person.
Yeah.
If you know someone's having a hard day, what could you do? You could talk to them on the phone or on Zoom. Yep. You could pray for them. What are you guys doing for Sunday school right now for a group of people that need to be taken care of because they can't have as many visitors? You're making Halloween cards to deliver over there. Because right now, we're all part of God's family, and a way you can take care of them because they can't have as many visitors is make them feel loved by sending them cards and make them know that people are thinking about them and taking care of them. So I thought that was kind of interesting that even we know Jesus will take care of the lost sheep. He cares about every single one of us. But our job as part of the big herd is to take care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
All right, can we say a prayer? Dear God, thank you for loving all of us and for making all of us a part of your herd. Help us to take care of each other every day, even when it feels hard. Help us to be creative when we're taking care of each other and find new ways to do that. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Danielle. I think we're the 99 would be a great t-shirt. We should work on that.
Sure.
For a church that is about caring. Our reading from the Hebrew scriptures today comes from Psalm 42, and we'll be reading chunks of a number of Psalms of Lament today.
And we'll tell you more about that in a bit.
In a little bit.
So this is the psalm. If you're a fan of the psalms, this is a psalm that in the NRSV starts out as a deer longs for flowing streams. This is a little bit different translation. And again, just settle back and let it wash over you. Hear the longing in this psalm. Like a stag, like a doe, longing for streams of cool water, my whole being longs for you, my God. My soul aches with thirst for God, for a God that lives. When can I go and see God face to face? My only food, day or night, is my tears. They recriminate me. Where is your God? They say.
These things I remember as I pour out my soul like water. How I'd go with the crowds and lead them into God's house. Do you remember those days when we would go with a crowd to church and see all our peeps and give hugs and warm kisses and looking at each other's smiles?
And drink coffee
together amid cries of gladness and thanksgiving, drunk with the dance of celebration. Okay, Methodists may not be very good at that part.
The drunk or the dance part. But we were good at celebration.
We were good at celebration. Why so dispirited, I ask myself. Why so churned up? Hope in God. When you were in the midst of the depths, have you told yourself that, the superego inside you going, just hope in God? Or maybe you had an outside superego, a partner, a friend, who said, oh, just hope in God. Buck up. Get over it. The psalmist knows that's not enough. And she continues, I know I'll praise God once again, for you are my deliverance. You are my God.
This is why my heart despairs, the psalmist says. I remember other days with you in the land of Jordan, on Mount Hermon, and in the hill of Mizar. The primeval deep is echoing in the sound of your waterfalls. Your torrents rage and break over me, overwhelming me. Makes me think of hurricanes and wildfires.
Every day, God, you ordain your love toward me. And during the night, you bring me your song. In my prayers to the God of my life, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do you keep me in mourning, oppressed by an unseen enemy? My bones are shattered by their words. Foes taunt me constantly. Where is your God? They say.
Why so dispirited? I ask myself. Why so churned up inside? Hope in God. And I don't necessarily think that's the words of a superego from the inside or the outside. Mm-hmm. I think it's someone trying really hard to find their center. Mm. Hope in God. I know I'll praise God once again, for you are my deliverance and you are my God. God.
Mm. Amen. Oh. By the way, Barb, this is a beautiful arrangement with all the fall leaves and the fall flowers. We have to find out what those are.
I think they're, I don't know.
There's something.
Asters, maybe.
But fall is normally my favorite season. Not only the crisp temperatures and the gorgeous colors and the new apples at Chapin's Orchard, but it's also the new classes and small groups and Sunday school curriculum. It's the season that I get a new season of chatting people up at the Nest coffee shop. And this year there's two new places for me to chat up strangers at Uncommon Coffee and Black Flannel, which is a brewery. They're also making, hard liquor too.
Distillery.
Distillery, that's the word I want. But none of this is happening. Right. None of this is happening, at least in person, because winter is coming and it's our second indoor COVID season already, right, with all the fear and loathing that comes with that.
So there's a sense of after a summer, which was actually pretty great weather for meeting together with people outside, we're moving back indoors and that it's going to be a harder time. I mean, not even counting the surge that's happening all over the place, though thankfully not much in Vermont so far. One of my friends who's single said, I am just dreading the winter because I've really found ways to connect with people outside and I don't know that I'm going to be able to do that at home. It's something of a high-risk individual for contracting COVID, and it just is really worried about going back to being alone so much of the time. It's going to be a time when, again, grandparents and grandkids can't hang out together because you can't do it outdoors. When people can't, it's even more difficult to not be able to hug and hang out. And so what I keep wondering is, how are we going to make it through these next bunch of months? Because it's going to be a bunch of months. And I think one of the things, there are a lot of answers to that, right? But one piece of it is this lament, this kind of Bible word, this old fashioned word. We're going to need to lament to make it through.
We're going to need to get biblical. Psalms of lament are the blues of the Bible.
Cue guitar line here.
Cue guitar line.
I wish I played guitar.
Barb has spent more time in Chicago than I have, but we both have some time in Chicago where blues is part of the lifeblood of that city. The blues is a language of music. Of how Black folk have been able to keep going under the pain and pressure of 300 years of slavery, 100 years of Jim Crow, and 50 years of broken promises about whose lives matter and whose don't. The blues asks, how do I keep going in the midst of all that stuff?
And that's exactly what the psalmists say all the time in the Psalms. The Psalms is a great book in the Bible. It's a book of people's honesty, people praising God, people wondering about God, and people scolding God for not showing up. And all the time saying, how am I going to keep going? Where are you? Why have you forgotten me? How long, oh God, is this going to happen?
I was reading an article this week by Richard Rohr, and he, like Harold Beck, our Hebrew scripture professor in seminary, said there's 150 Psalms in the Bible, and a third of them are Psalms of lament.
Yep.
And so it's just very honest about the hurt. Richard Rohr says, think how many Psalms, or songs rather, of lament will you hear on pop Christian radio? And his answer was zero. Yeah. Goose eggs, nada, zilch, because pop Christian faith seems to think that anger and doubt and grief are signs of a weak faith, and they're things to be avoided.
Right.
And anyone who expresses those kind of feelings are people who should be avoided.
The Psalms know better.
The Psalms know better. The Bible knows that those emotions are all vehicles toward a deeper, more trusting faith.
Right.
That's why the blues and the Psalms are not afraid of talking about grief and pain. They're the language of grief and pain, the Psalms and the blues. The Psalms and the blues both know that you don't get over grief and pain. You have to go through the grief and the pain to come out on the other side. That requires us and empowers us to keep going. In fact, we have to keep going through, not getting over, going through even when we're tempted to give up.
And in a weird way, the blues, the Psalms of lament, they help us keep going, right? Mm-hmm. There's just something about blues, you know? My woman left me and my truck died. My dog bit me this morning. And you're like, oh, honey, say that again.
Wow, like, you know, that's a lot like country music too.
right. And there's something about saying what hurts that gets it out of us, that acknowledges, that puts it all out on the table. And that's what the Psalms of Lament do. Mm. They start complaining almost all the time. And when you get it out on the table, it's still there. It doesn't go away, but it doesn't have so much power over us somehow. And then the Psalms of Lament, almost inevitably, after going through all of that complaining, then they say something that says, God, you're still here. Just like the one we read this morning, hope in God. God is my deliverance. I'll praise God again. And then out of that remembrance of God, they almost always turn around to say, you know what, God, you are great. So they start out by complaining to mm-hmm. God. And then they say, oh yeah, you are God. And then they end up in praise. And what Harold Beck used to say is, the Psalms that don't end in praise, the Psalms of Lament that don't end in praise, aren't finished yet, right? The psalmist didn't write long enough, or what they wrote didn't get into the Bible or something, because if you write all the way through a lament, you come through it and come out on the other side in praise. And it's not a happy slappy praise. It's a
hard,
in the midst of all of this praise. But it turns. And that's what makes Psalms of Lament so powerful, because they don't just leave us in the crud. They're honest about the crud, and that lets us get beyond it to a deeper place.
Right. So here's a couple examples of the psalmist saying all that hurts or complaining. I mean, you start out, and your grandma always says, don't start out complaining, but they do.
And we said they were honest. So
here's
they're honest.
Here's Psalm 44. And I just want to imagine a prayer like this. Awake, why are you asleep, Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Why do you hide your face, forgetting our woe and our oppression? For our souls are bowed down to the dust. Our bodies are pressed into the earth. Can you imagine how much guts it takes to start out a prayer going, wake up, God, aren't you paying attention?
Get up with, get on with
it,
man.
The Psalms do all the time.
And the Psalms do it all the time.
Another great example is Psalm 13. And a lot of the Psalms start out with, how long, O Lord? Mm. How long, O Lord, will you utterly forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I harbor sorrow in my soul, grief in my heart, day after day? How long will my enemy triumph over me? How long, O Lord? Totally honest about the pain, the frustration, the feeling abandoned, the not knowing what to do next.
Mm. So we're going to give you all some homework today. And that is, let us create an honest, organic, real psalm of lament for ourselves. And here's a modern model, I guess, for how we can do that.
And I always say that I like all my spiritual practices to only have 3 steps because they're easy to remember. And this one only has 3 steps. So it's easy to remember.
Kind of 4.
Four. Yeah, depending on how you do
sort
it.
Sort of 4.
Okay.
Okay.
3 and Mitch's half. Version has 4. So if you want to write a psalm of lament, here's how you do it. First, write down all your hurts and complaints. And I mean an exhaustive list, right? So not just, you know, the news headlines, but all of the things that you're complaining about. Like, we've got to soak up all the color right now because it's going to be stick season forever in about 3 weeks, right? All of our complaints. And then once you've gotten all those written down, and I would say write them down, either pen and pencil or on a computer or into a phone or something, get them out of you and into another format of some kind. Mm. And then once you've done all that, remember a time when God has been there for you in the past. And if you can't remember a time that God's been there for you, remember a time that you know God's been there for someone else, right? But it's easiest if it can be, or it works, I think, best if it's something that you can remember that God's been there from you. And it might be a long time ago, and it might be something little, but just remember that.
We shared last week that in the Black Church, the term is, where has God made a way out of no way?
Sure. That's a great phrase.
And it's a way through, not around or
right,
over.
Right.
Where's God made a way through the grief and the pain and the lament?
So write down all the griefs and complaints. Remember a time that God has made a way out of no way. And then ask God for one thing. And my friend who shared this practice with me said to me, if you can't ask God for only one thing, you haven't complained enough. Right? So if you're like,
I don't know, I complain a lot.
So God, I need these 5 things. You need to go back to step one and write some more things out so that you can get down to the one 5 thing. And that's what a psalm of lament does, is it strips off all those things that are holding us back and roots us into what's most important. Mm-hmm. And in that asking comes the praise, I think. It's a sense of, God, I know that I can trust you. And so here's what I'm asking for. So you could count praise as the 4th thing. I think praise kind of wraps into the asking, but whatever, it all works.
As Barb said earlier, if a psalm doesn't end in praise, that 4th step or 3.5 step, it's not finished yet.
Some of the psalms don't. Some of the psalms don't even get to the 2nd step.
No, some of them are just stuck. They are stuck. Psalm 137 is a profound example of this. Psalm 137 is a psalm of lament that starts out complaining, but beautifully. The poetry is amazing. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. It is evocative and woeful and beautiful, and has been the source of 100 reggae songs. But it ends with bitter hatred and revenge. Blessed are those who
take.
We don't have to go into the details, but it's ugly. It's ugly and awful. The psalmist,
because it's not done yet.
The psalmist, this was early on in the exile. They had just gotten there, And there would be another 40 years before they would be ready to offer God praises again. And maybe that's our job in the COVID exile, is to learn how to finish the psalm for the psalmist and for ourselves as well.
Well, and it also lifts up that this isn't necessarily a quick process, mm-mm, right? So the writing down of all of the griefs, it might take a while. And if you're writing down all the griefs and you can't remember some time that God's been with you, give yourself some space. It's okay for it to be the next day that you get to step two, right? Or calling someone up and saying, can you help me out? I need some help with this piece, right? So it doesn't have to be a very quick and ordered sitting down and making all of that happen. It can be just fine. So that's one way to write a psalm of lament. Complain, write your complaints. Remember a time that God made a way out of no way. Ask for one thing and praise. But it's not the only way to ask to do a psalm of lament.
No, there was a video that I shared with our Facebook page last April, early on in the pandemic. And it's another way to enter into the world of the psalmist, into the mindset of the psalmist, by being in conversation with the psalm, even if it's not a psalm of lament. This video is a riff on Psalm 23, which is decidedly not a lament psalm. But the author of this video brings all of her anger and fear and lament to the psalm. She's in conversation with it. And it's also a lovely way to be in conversation with lament in a biblical form. So we're going to show that. It's and I'll try not to cry because I've already seen it once today and I still cried. But take a look at this video.
So that's another way to write a psalm of lament, to take a psalm, any psalm, and put your own words in. We did that a little bit in the reading of Psalm 42. And it doesn't have to be a psalm of lament that you put the words into. Psalm 23 is a psalm of trust. And what I love about this video is she says, yeah, I'm really trying, but these are all the things that are really bothering me right now. And she doesn't come out on the other end saying, woohoo, you're God, it's all good. But there is a sense of, you can help, you'll help me, you'll hold me. So that's another way you can write a psalm of lament. If you don't want to start from scratch yourself, pick one that speaks to you and go from there.
Mm-hmm. What I really love about this video is that she isn't so much interpreting Psalm 23 as she's letting Psalm 23 interpret her.
Yes.
And that requires a vulnerability to let the text, to let the text interpret us.
The Psalms are about being vulnerable.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them aren't, but they're not as interesting. Some of them are about ta-da.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are a few like that. But most of them are very, very honest about where we're at and how we're at. So here's what I would love us to do this week. We didn't print out a prayer for the week for you because I would like you to be a psalmist this week. I would like you to write a psalm of lament. We can use those three or four stages of an exhaustive list of hurts and complaints. Remember a time when God was there for you to make a way out of no way. Ask God for one thing you need right now, and then be moved to offer God your thanks and praise. That's one model. Or you might have a psalm and you have a conversation with it. A psalm that may not be a psalm of lament, but where you bring yourself to the psalm and you be in conversation with it. So I invite you to do that for your homework this week. Be a psalmist or have a deep conversation with the psalmist. And if you are the kind of person who writes that kind of thing down, and I would love if we might have you send those to me at either my email address or the church email address or on Facebook. I think it would be amazing to have a collection of Essex Center United Methodist Church COVID Psalms of Lament, or the blues. COVID Essex blues. Center sings the COVID blues. Would love to be able to have a collection like that to be able to share on our Facebook page. So let the Psalms interpret you this week, and share that if you're feeling brave. I'll put out some directions on our Facebook page and in the newsletter so you can get a reminder of that.
And whether you write a psalm to share or not, may this process of lament, maybe just reading the Psalms of Lament as you find them in the Bible, and they're pretty easy to find because they start with complaining, right? Somehow may this process of being honest with God about exactly how awful things are, exactly how afraid you are, exactly what you need. May moving through that the way the psalmists do, may that free you up so that everything won't be better, but we won't be stuck in the pain of it. Then we can take care of the 99, as Danielle said. Then we start to find our creative juices flowing. You don't have to do this alone. Find someone to do it with. Call Mitch or me, and we'll help you out with it if you like. But may the process of lament be a process of freeing and of healing. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all. We're going to have a time of prayer. And in fact, it's going to be a time of prayer called COVID Lament Psalm by Donna Shaper. We invite you to share your prayer concerns with us, your joys and concerns. You can put them on the comment section online. And while we're doing that, I invite you to listen to Catherine Parker's treatment of Open My Eyes and her eyes used for some beautiful pictures.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thanks. Psalms of lament are the blues of the Bible. And whether Muddy Waters speaks to you best or King David, we invite you to praying a psalm now called COVID Lament Psalm.
So this is a psalm by a woman named Donna Shaper. And again, just soak it up and see if it speaks to your reality. When will this COVID-19 pandemic be over, dear Lord? When will the fear, suffering, and death stop? How will you make things right for those who've lost their jobs and livelihood, those who are sick or who've lost family members and friends? God, make this virus go away. Heal the sick. Take away our fear. Show some mercy. Help those who need your assistance, even though they don't know to call out to you. Of course, at your pace, as we learn the lessons we need to know. You have been here before to assist us in times of need. So I make this personal plea. Where there is stress, help us manage it. Where there is illness, help us cure it. Where there is fear, help us chase it. Focus our attention and intention today on what really matters. I trust you and know there are better days ahead.
It's in the spirit of that kind of confidence that we lift up prayers. With Jan Jordan, we pray for her daughter Karen, who weighs 92 pounds. With Dana, prayers for her friend Marty, whose mother passed away this week. Because of COVID, she was unable to be with her mother, and that is weighing heavily on her. Thank you, Lord. With Narda, continued prayers for both Jody, who received the diagnosis of stage 4 stomach cancer, and Mo, who faces more tests to determine the extent of her breast cancer.
And I lift my colleague Deb, whose 97-year-old father died of COVID a couple weeks ago.
We invite you to continue to lift up folks who were lifted up last week. It's in the bulletin on the Facebook page. But we pray with the psalmist. We pray the way Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power,
and the glory forever. Amen. We have a few announcements to let you know about. We have birthdays this week for Jacob Parker, who turns 22. That's on the 22nd, and on October 25th, birthday for Diane Jones, and I think she's probably about 21 or 22 as well. And anniversaries for Grant and Mitsumi Corson on October 19th, so big congratulations to them. Tomorrow night, we are going to have the Bible study, the Zoom Bible study that we didn't have last week on transgression. The links are on the back of the bulletin. Take a look at that. And on November 11th, we'll be having our annual church conference at 7 p.m. We'll be sending out the Zoom links to everybody for that. So keep that in mind. We'll be sending out other updates and programming that's coming up very soon in the newsletter. And any other things?
I don't think so. It's cool today, but beautiful and bright. And so may the colors of the world around us be part of what heals the fear and the barrenness some days in our own souls. Mm-hmm.
Wherever you are in the process of lament or joy, go into this day knowing that you are beloved of the God who is creator and redeemer and sustainer now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Go in peace.
Thanks for being with us. Peace.